What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer. We're three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, and we've been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, as well as following along with them our entire lives. And this is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys, a lot to get into today because, as you know, it's Friday, which means it's our typical Friday show where we're going to get into some fan voicemails from Tim and everyone else. I mean, we have a bunch to get into this week. We have five voicemails that we're going to listen to. So we also have Justin from Western Kentucky, Armando calling about his grandma. There's a bunch that you guys need to hear about in the second segment. But we're going to start the show today by talking about the Chargers' latest injury report and who practiced and who didn't on Thursday, because that's the day that's most important in signifying who's going to play that weekend. So we're going to start with that. And to wrap up the show, we're going to do, as we always do, get into John Kegley's all-time series notes before getting into our bold predictions offensively and defensively, and then getting into who is going to win this game. So, David, let's go ahead and get into it. This is your Locked On Chargers lead story. I'm Daniel Wade, joined as always by David Drogemeyer. The lead story today is that the Chargers' Thursday injury report came out and Keenan Allen did not participate in that practice with a hamstring injury. This is all of the news that we know at this time. We do not know the severity of the hamstring injury. We do not know Keenan Allen's game status yet. But when you see your best wide receiver on the injury report this late in the week, it's obviously a bad thing for the Chargers, and they have to hope he can go, because even when he's not catching the ball, the attention that he commands on the outside is something that no other Chargers receiver can bring to the table at this point. And David, the Chargers have already been somewhat limited offensively this season, and they've struggled to get the ball into the end zone and finish off drives with points. Losing your best receiver and not having him in practice this late in the week, once you see that, all of the alarm bells start going off.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't make you feel good, Daniel. I mean, you feel pretty scared that, you know, your best receiver gets a hamstring, a soft tissue injury this late in the week, and you don't know the severity of the injury. So the Chargers are going to have to find some production if he's not able to play from other guys, from ancillary pieces, if you will. But, you know, Anthony Lynn did mention earlier, you know, this year that he doesn't necessarily need to see his veterans practice to be able to play on Sunday. So we got to hope that severity of this injury isn't as such that it will prevent Keenan Allen from playing on Sunday. They desperately need him out there.
Yeah, they're going up against a very good Bears defense. And if it's not very good, there's a lot of very good players on that defense. Eddie Jackson, Khalil Mack, Kyle Fuller, who Keenan Allen should be seeing a lot of this week. And looking at this injury report, you see how injury-ridden the Chargers have been. 12 players show up on their Thursday injury report. The Chicago Bears have only Sherrick McManus, the defensive back. And I think that tells you how bad it's been for the Chargers as far as the injury front goes this season. But looking at some other names on the Chargers' last injury report, you have Justin Jackson and Melvin Ingram both returning to practice in a limited participants this week, which is huge news for the Chargers because Melvin Ingram is one of the Chargers' best defensive players, hands down, with his versatility and what he's able to do, not only as a pass rusher, but just as an overall player. And then Justin Jackson, who actually led the league for a time in yards per carry at the running back position, coming back to a team that has yet to eclipse 40 rushing yards since Melvin Gordon has returned. So two huge players who we could potentially see back this week. But getting back to the concerning part, there's a couple other names that concern me this week, David, because you have Brandon Mebane and Justin Jones, who did not play last week. Neither of them has practiced at all this week, and neither has Cortez Broughton. The rookie out of Cincinnati has been a non-participant in both practices due to illness. So that's three defensive tackles down. And you also have Damian Square as a limited participant with a hamstring injury down farther on the list, and he'd be more likely to play this weekend. But David, I know you added Sylvester Williams and T.Y. McGill the last couple of weeks, but this is an already very thin unit, and this is not a good injury report for the health status of the Chargers defensive line.
Yeah, no, it's definitely scary when you see that many pieces on the defensive line on the injury report. And the worst part about it is you don't know the severity of those injuries. So you don't know if they're any closer to coming back or how far away they are. But if there was a week where they could potentially get away with not having their best interior defensive lineman on the field, it would be against the Chicago Bears team, who is only averaging a little over 70 rushing yards a game.
Yeah, when you see injuries to a group like the Chargers defensive tackles who don't have the talent to really even perform when they're fully healthy, it scares you even against a team that struggles to run the ball, because you know that they will probably try to at least establish the run. They only ran it 7 times last week, but they also were getting steamrolled by the Saints to start that game. So a lot of names on the Chargers injury report. The biggest one and the one the Chargers need the most on the field is Keenan Allen, but they might get their kicker back this week as Michael Badgley was a full participant in both practices. So fingers crossed. All right, guys. Well, it's time to get into our fan voicemails. I'm going to keep this part pretty short because we have a lot of voicemails to get to, and we're going to try to get to all of them today. But we're going to start with Armando calling about some predictable play calling and also his grandmother.
Hey guys, this is Armando from San Diego calling in, and I got a little story to tell about Sunday. And so my grandmother, she wanted to take my kids out to the park, so she went to the park and I'm just home watching the game, and she comes, brings the kids back, and it's towards the end of the game. It's when that play happens and Melvin Gordon fumbles at the 1 yard line, and they call it a touchdown, but then they end up, it's not a touchdown. So, and then the Chargers line up, and my grandma's right there watching the game with me, and she says, "Oh my God, they're doing the same play. They're going to run it right there again." And sure enough, the Chargers ran it right there, and we all know the story of what happened. It's kind of sad that I can literally say that my grandmother can see the plays that the Chargers are running, and she doesn't watch football like that. I thought it was kind of a sad story. And also, I wanted to say, we have Derek Watt. Why don't we use him? Like, why doesn't he set up a block, get that fullback eye formation? I don't know. I just want to hear your guys' thoughts on that. And thanks to all the Chargers fans for calling in and everybody showing us that we have a place even when we got a loss. We still got fans. All right.
I will say it's pretty funny to hear something like that. I mean, I knew it was coming. I think most of the Chargers fan base knew that it was coming, so it was no surprise seeing Melvin Gordon get another carry right there, even after, you know, failing to get it the play before. But I think that does say a lot about the Chargers play calling. If Armando's grandmother can see it coming, I think the other team can probably see it coming too, which is why the other team was so blindsided in the first half when you did that play action and found Melvin Gordon all by himself in the flats. So a good call there by Armando. I really appreciate it. Let's go ahead and get into the next one because we have a lot to get to. So let's go to Nate, who has a few different questions he wants us to answer.
Hey, guys. My name's Nate. I found your guys' podcast this season. I've been listening for the whole season. I love you guys. I just had a few questions after the last week. I was wondering if you guys, given that we are now 2-5 after that tough loss last week, do you think this team can go 8-1 or 9-0 to make the postseason, make a push at least? And do you guys think Gus Bradley's defense has been figured out, or do you think the injuries were just too much for them to be able, for any defensive coordinator to be able to handle it? And then with that last loss, do you put a lot of fault more on Melvin Gordon or Anthony Lynn? Because I think it's more on Melvin Gordon, because any coach expects a running back to be able to get the ball in there without fumbling. And then again on that Chargers culture, which there was a question there on Monday about, and I was in Minnesota last week for the Vikings-Eagles game, and I had never really understood what the whole home field advantage was until I went to that game, because I've been to 2 Chargers games, and yeah, it was pretty empty, but at the Vikings game, it was so incredibly loud, and you could see the effect it had on the other players. And I was wondering if you guys thought, did you think there's any way they're going to get that type of atmosphere in L.A., even with the new stadium, or do you think it's going to be 16 road games away, 16 road games every season for a while? And then finally, what do you guys think on Michael Badgley? I know he got back to practicing last week, and I know he was really good last season, but missing 7 weeks with an injury when you're one of the most important positions and it's cost us at least 1 game, I know, I think it's pretty tough. Thanks, guys. Love you guys.
All right. So first, let me say that I don't think there's any way that the Chargers go 8-1 or 9-0. I know crazier things are possible, but at the same time, it's just not realistic when you still have the Chiefs twice on your schedule when you have the Packers and the Vikings still left on your schedule, and the Raiders are no slouch right now. The Broncos already dealt you an L this season. It's hard to say that they're going to do that good to end the season, but we've seen the Chargers go on some runs before. So asking if we put more fault on Melvin Gordon or Anthony Lynn. John, I'll send this one to you. I think that there's a lot of fault to go to both sides. I mean, obviously, at the end of the day, Melvin Gordon is the one who fumbles the ball. But I do think that Anthony Lynn still shares a fair amount of blame with him for having that predictable play calling on the one-yard line to begin with.
Melvin Gordon shouldn't have been running the ball in the first place. It should have been a quarterback sneak. You're on the inch-yard line. If you're at the two-yard line, then I can understand going into shotgun and having Melvin run the ball because you spread everybody out and make it easier hole. But you're on the one-inch yard line. It should have been a quarterback sneak. Melvin should have never been put in that situation. So I'm putting the blame on Anthony Lynn.
Yeah, I understand that blame. He definitely deserves some. But obviously, if you're Melvin Gordon, it's still unacceptable to fumble on the goal line. But you're right. It should have been a different play right there. To answer the question about Gus Bradley, I think the hard thing about Gus Bradley is we've just never seen this defense from him be successful unless he has, you know, the Legion of Boom in Seattle, or he just has a ridiculous amount of talent with the Chargers. I don't know if we've ever seen Gus Bradley's defense and how he runs those cover three zones and said, this is a defense that's getting the most out of subpar players and making them better than they really are. So I do think it's hard to really analyze everything that's happened so far against the defense with the amount of injuries that they've sustained and how many of those situations Derwin James, you know, or these other guys bail you out of. But I do think that there is some blame there. And I wouldn't be totally surprised if they decided to go in a different direction after the season. And to answer the atmosphere question, when you're talking about a team like the Vikings, such a storied franchise, whether they deserve it, I mean, or not with what they've done, they've been around so long. They've had so many years to really ingratiate themselves into that community in Minnesota and other teams like that, the Packers or the Bears and teams like that. It's just for the Chargers to expect to get that kind of atmosphere with everything surrounding them is nothing more to a pipe dream. To me, they had a consumer base in San Diego who feels jilted by them leaving town. And I think that you're not just going to be able to create and cultivate a fan base like that in Los Angeles. I mean, it can be done. Look at the LAFC and what they've been able to do. And those games are just ridiculous. So I do think it can be done. I don't think it can be done by the Chargers. I just think it'll take way too long. And it's going to really show next season. I mean, if the 12-4 record didn't get the people to show up, it's hard to say that the 2-5 record is getting people in LA excited. But we do have a comment coming from Justin from Western Kentucky, who is at the Titans game. So let's hear what Justin had to say from his experience at the game.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Justin from Western Kentucky. I just want to make a quick comment. I was at the Titans game last Sunday, and a little bit of silver lining, I think, for us Charger fans was there was probably about 40% Charger fans at that stadium, and I was surprised. Like, we were sitting in the lower bowl, and there was this sea of, like, blue and gold instead of, like, blue and white, and it made me happy. And then whenever, like, you know, unfortunately the Chargers kind of fumbled there at the end, pun intended, there was a lot of sad blue and gold altogether. So at least made me kind of happy to see, like, on the road that we go out there and, like, still kind of represent, like, even in Nashville. Like, I've been to a few Kansas City games, and those are always seas of red, but there's always a few splotches of gold. And that always makes me happy, like, especially seeing, like, our turnout, our home games. I just want to call in and say that at least a little silver lining that, like, hey, Charger fans are still here, and we're still representing, even though it's been a pretty awful season. But thanks, guys. Love the show. Y'all take it easy.
Well, David, I will say that it is nice to see the Chargers representing on the road a little bit. I mean, 40% Chargers fans, maybe that was the case. It was hard to tell because that, you know, those color patterns are a little bit similar. But I think for Charger fans that don't live in San Diego anymore, they're more likely to still show up and show some pride for the team than the people closest to the Chargers in LA and San Diego. So I do think it's nice to see some Charger fans on the road, but I do think that is somewhat because of those people aren't as betrayed as the ones that are closer to where the Chargers actually play their home games.
Yeah, no, I definitely think that's part of it, Daniel. But also, you know, Nashville, Tennessee is a, you know, kind of a destination type of place. So, you know, many people probably want to check out the music scene there. You know, it's obviously known for that. So I think that probably had something to do with it. But you're absolutely right. I mean, there's a lot of fans that have been scorned, especially in the San Diego area, that would probably more likely are more likely to travel and go spend their money at other stadiums to see the Chargers play than drive up to LA and watch them in a soccer stadium.
All right, well, I'm excited to get to this next caller because it's Mitch from Australia who calls into the show, and I loved hearing from him. It's always crazy. We had a fan in Ireland who's in our fantasy football league. And it's just so awesome to hear people from around the world enjoying this podcast and calling and ask questions. Let's hear what Mitch has to ask today.
Hey, guys. I'm Mitch calling all the way from Australia. I've been a Chargers fan since I started following NFL in 2010. I know the season has been long and stressful. I know, believe me, I have to get up at 3 a.m. on a Monday morning sometimes just to watch the Chargers games. On a positive note, if we keep going like this, we'll end up with some pretty good draft picks. If you guys are the GM and in the situation we have with Rivers, do you extend him and draft a good O-lineman with our pick, or do we find Phillip's successor? And if we did, who do you guys think we should target? It's hard for me to know, as college is harder to get coverage on here in Australia. Thanks, guys. Love the show. Go Bolts.
All right. So, John, I think that's a pretty easy, straightforward question. Thank you for being so precise about it. That's a tough call. I mean, extending Phillip Rivers, drafting an offensive lineman, or you take a quarterback very high in the next draft. I don't think the two are mutually exclusive, but John, if you're the GM and you had to make this decision, which way are you leaning?
It's tough, but with the lack of offensive line we have, I don't think we're ready to have a young quarterback come in here yet. I think you need to draft all the O-line and have Phillip Rivers teach him up if you can get him for one more year. And let Rivers play that one year in the stadium he really wanted to play, and the offensive line can gel that year. And the next year, you can draft a QB, and you'll have an offensive line ready for him. Because if you draft one next year with a bunch of rookie offensive linemen, it might not look that good. You might get him injured, and that's a whole other story that we have to go down with the Chargers injuries problems that we've had. But there are some guys that you could probably go to if you want to draft. I know people are talking about like Tua and Justin Herbert, but they're probably going to go before the Chargers get a pick, even with a high draft pick that we could get. But some guys that you could look at would be Jake Fromm, who's plays at Georgia, not Jake from State Farm, Jake Fromm from Georgia. He's pretty good. He's got a good arm and really good accuracy. He knows how to make his reads and throw on a spot. He's not really good at running the ball if the trouble comes, but he can extend the play. There's guys like Joe Burrow who at LSU, who's shown a lot of arm strength and great throws, but with the past history at LSU, it makes you kind of want to gamble. We could have Jamarcus Russell and Matt Flynn and those guys. A guy that I think could be under the radar that the Chargers could go after, though, is Utah State quarterback Jordan Love, who has been money of a QB with how he throws the ball, makes his reads, makes the adjustments at the line, and is able to run the ball if he has to and extend the plays. He's really agile. I think he would be an under-the-radar pick the Chargers could get late in the first round or even in the second round.
And I don't think that the two have to be mutually exclusive. I think you could draft a quarterback very high in this draft class and still extend Phillip Rivers to groom this young guy. I mean, we've seen it work with guys like Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes, but are we really questioning whether those guys would have found success if they didn't have to sit behind another guy for a year? I don't know about that. So, yeah, I think Joe Burrow, I mean, is probably the Heisman favorite right now, depending on what happens against in his game against Alabama. So I like Joe Burrow a lot, Justin Herbert, Tua. We'll definitely be getting more into those guys as the season comes to a close and we start looking towards the future. But there's some prospects in this class. So I think if you're deciding between, you know, one of those guys or Tristan Wirfs out of Iowa, who's just, I mean, an absolutely dominant offensive tackle, it's hard to make those decisions right now. And the GM, Tom Telesco, is going to have a hard decision. But I think most likely what would happen is the Chargers do extend Phillip Rivers and they could still target one of these guys in high in the draft if they wanted to and try to figure out the offensive line either in free agency or with other draft picks. But that's already gotten them into a lot of trouble. I agree with you. Get your offensive line solidified first, because why are you going to bring a young quarterback and put him behind a terrible offensive line? So we do have one more caller to get into, and it's one of my favorite callers, Tim, who is in trouble now because he had such a long voicemail on today's show. But let's hear what Tim has to say in this shortened down version of what his actual call was about the Chargers and just how bad it's been recently.
Hey, what's going on, Locked On Chargers? Daniel, this is Tim calling you back. Hey, how could I miss after you told me that I was your favorite caller? Kind of hit me right in the old heart, and thought, man, I got to call him back because, you know, Chargers did it again this week, and I got to get out my frustration. So as usual, it's just a rant. And I want to start with the Spamos family. Notice I call them Spamos because I'm kind of the wordplay, you know, that crappy meat that comes in a can. That's everybody's treat. Spam, that's like the last thing left in the cupboard. And, you know, in the apocalypse, nobody wants to eat it. It just sits there because nobody wants anything to do with it. That's where I'm going, the Spamos family. Hey, I got an answer for you, Spamoses. Listen, sell the team to someone who wants to win. Quit making this a Greek tragedy. The Chargers don't deserve it. The fans don't deserve it. We don't want to see a Greek tragedy. If you do, go buy tickets to the Phantom of the Opera or whatever. I don't know what Greek tragedies even are. I just know this is a tragedy this year. We're respectable people who want a respectable football team, and you're doing nothing to help us. I think it's a joke that you hired this guy, Lynn. I think he probably just is doing the job for nothing because he wanted to be a head football coach, and he never got there, so you gave it to him because it would work for free, basically. I wonder if he was holding up one of those signs like you see the guys at the end of the freeway, will work for free to be a head coach or something. The other thing is move the team back to San Diego where they have a fan base at least. You know, I know the Raiders are coming there every year and crowd everybody out, Raider fans, and a lot of other teams probably too, but at least there was a fan base there. L.A. ain't going to go for this stuff. They're not going to go for a team that's 2-5 now. Total gut punch of a game just last week. Coach Lynn, you know what you said before, you don't want to play players unless they've had a full camp. You know, that's been some of your bullshit, basically, that you talk when you don't want to play a guy. But Gordon comes in, hasn't had a full camp, and you're handing him the ball over and over again. The guy is getting 2 yards of carry if he's lucky. He looks like he's running through a field of mud. It's just freaking ridiculous. Fumbles twice on the goal line, loses us the game. Run Eckler. Run Pope. God, please. Not Gordon anymore. Please. You're killing us, Lynn. I finally found out why Benjamin was put on the IR. I know you guys are wondering. He's got Robert Durand syndrome. Yeah, hands of stone. That's basically what it is. You know, Uber will take him for sure. I think he's only going to drop off, just drop off passengers, not pick them up. You know what I mean? Get that? So anyway, guys, had to call in again and say that. Oh, by the way, yesterday, I think it was Lewis called in. Good job, Lewis. Right up your alley with this stuff. I don't know what to do, guys. Break out the chicken bones and the chicken blood. Call the voodoo doctor something. We got a real problem going on here with the curse of the Chargers and the Spamos family. I don't know. Take it from there, guys. Thanks for the show again. Later.
All right. Well, Tim, I do appreciate the wordplay, the Spamos family. I that's a pretty original, you know, not being the last thing in the cupboard in a nuclear apocalypse or maybe a zombie apocalypse. Who knows? But that is pretty funny. I will give that to you again. But David, I understand the frustration of someone like Tim. You know, as San Diego natives, of course, it hurts to see the Chargers leave. And it did when it happened. Obviously, we've moved past that and we're still following this team and covering this team. But for other fans, it really does suck seeing this. And I understand the sentiment of sell the team and all of these things come back to San Diego. It's hard to hear those things as a native San Diegan. And I don't think by any means that there's any chance right now, realistically, that could happen. But there are some serious doubts about the Chargers in LA. And for a guy in Tim who obviously loved the San Diego Chargers too, and is still following them to this point, I understand the frustrations.
Oh, absolutely. You understand the frustrations. I mean, it just stems from how the Chargers left San Diego. I mean, we mentioned before on this show, they basically just put out a press release and said, all right, guys, we're gone. Thanks for 56 years. And oh, by the way, you didn't give us the money for our stadium. So see you later. I mean, it was just such an unprofessional, just terrible way to exit, and a perfect way to really just enrage and disassociate yourself from a fan base in a city that really, you know, tried to stick behind you for 50 plus years. It, you know, it'll never be the same. And, you know, the idea of them, you know, of Dean Spanos or the Spanos family selling the Chargers, that, I think, within itself is a pipe dream. I mean, I think we'd all love to see it. All us native San Diegans would love to see that, but that's just not, you know, not going to happen. I mean, there is some trouble with the PSL sales, Daniel, and that might definitely cause a rift between him and the owner of the Rams.
I mean, if you listen to the reports, there's already a rift there because of the lack of personal seat licenses. I mean, it's a really not a good situation right now for the Chargers off of the football field, but we've done plenty of talking about that. And I mean, I think my stances on it are pretty well known to all of our listeners. But to get back to, I think, a really good point is Anthony Lynn making such a big deal about, you know, having to practice and all of these things. Yet you see them bring in Melvin Gordon and just continually force feed him the ball when all of the public comments were, you know, we're going to ease him back and these guys are still going to be involved and all those things. I mean, that's a very fair complaint of Anthony Lynn. It is pretty surprising to see them do this. It's more buddy ball type of things, which you hate to see from your head coach. But I did like the line about Travis Benjamin should only be an Uber driver where he only drops off passengers. He never actually picks anybody up. He just drops them off. So I like that, Tim. Keep calling in and keep it short next time. I know there's a lot of complaints about the Chargers, but that is going to wrap things up for the voicemail segment of the show. We love you guys calling into the show. And if you guys want to be the next ones on the show, make sure to call 323-524-7924, and you can be the next voice on the Locked On Chargers podcast. But we do have two more segments to get into talking about. We do have another segment to get into giving our bold and game predictions this week for the game against the Bears, and also getting into John's all-time series notes coming up right after this. But first, I need to tell you guys that if you guys want to put some money on the game this weekend on the Chargers and you have a good feeling, the only place to do it is mybookie.ag. We're almost halfway through the NFL season, so now is the time to get off the sidelines and get in the game with mybookie. mybookie is the premier place to bet on all of your favorite pro and college football action every weekend, and they always have the most up-to-date lines and the most prop bets of any sports book on the planet. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and bet with mybookie. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay, pick your locks for the week, and put them together in one bet, and when they all come through, the rewards will be huge. The best part right now, guys, is that MyBookie will double your first deposit. That's right. If you put in $1,000, they will give you a free $1,000 to bet with. That's double your initial deposit. And all you have to do is use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, one word, to double your cash today at MyBookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid. And like I've always told you guys, if you come up on a huge sum of money because MyBookie paid you out good, you have only one place to take it. We know you need a new car, and you have to go over to our friends at Metro Infinity right off the 210 in Monrovia. They have a brand new multi-million dollar facility, and you have to check out their amazing selection of new and used cars. They're the only dealer in California that is family owned, and they have been in business for over 25 years. They are the number one volume dealer in California, and one of my favorite parts about Metro Infinity is that if you don't want to go into the dealership, it's no problem at all. They will bring your new car and paperwork to your house or your office and complete the whole transaction there. If you go in and you tell them that we sent you over there, they will give you another $500 off any car purchase if you mention Locked On Chargers. If you guys are thinking about a new Infiniti or any new car, please give them a chance to earn your business. You can call them at 626-599-7510 or at metroinfinity.com, and you can be riding off in a brand new Infiniti Q50 3.0 luxury loaded today at Metro Infiniti. All right, guys, well, time to get into the final segment of the week, getting into our bold predictions and our game predictions. But first, as always, we start with John Kegley giving us a short summary of the Chargers' all-time series against the Bears. So, John Kegley, take it away.
Well, this series started off pretty good, Daniel. We had a 3-0 series lead over the Bears, and then we've lost 7 of the last 9 and trailed the series 7-5. A lot of these games have been low-scoring battles. I see a couple of 40-point games in this, but for the most point, it's 22-19, 20-7, 14-3, 23-20. A lot of these games are always low-scoring and close. So it kind of gives you an idea what the game's going to be like this week. I don't know how, but somehow it's always a close game. And the last time the Chargers won was a game that was amazing to watch. It was 2007. Chargers played the defending NFC champion Bears on opening day. They're down 0-3 at halftime. And LT comes in, throws a touchdown pass to Gates, and then just steamrolls over the Bears linebackers and gets another touchdown to win 14-3. That was an amazing display of being a leader and the guy that clinches games by LT. Rivers, take some notes, please. And then the last time we played was at Qualcomm Stadium in San Diego, where we had a 16-7 lead, and we lost that lead. That was the game when Jason Verrett had a pick six. I know you remember that guy. That was that one of those few games when he was healthy and made a play. He had a pick six in this game, but in the end, it's Zach Miller catching a deep touchdown that he had to jump hella high for and somehow came down with it to win the game. So a lot of close games, a lot of heartbreaking games, a lot of fun games. So it's going to be a dogfight.
I wouldn't expect anything less from this matchup. And it is cool just because you only get to see a team like this once every four seasons, you know, with how the NFL scheduling works. So it is a pretty unique matchup between these two teams who have not played a lot. But let's go ahead and get into our bold predictions since we had so many damn voicemails. Jesus, you guys, calm down. All right, so let's go bold predictions. Let's go defense first. David, who are you going for defensively this week with your bold prediction?
So for my defensive bold prediction this week, Daniel, it's going to be centered around a guy the Chargers have desperately missed and who has been apparently in Anthony Lynn's ear trying to play every single week. I think this is the week where he's finally going to make his return. Melvin Ingram is that man, of course, and I think Melvin Ingram is going to come back and get two sacks and add a forced fumble. He's going to announce his return with authority.
Yeah, I would love that. I mean, just getting him on the field is nice itself. And I mean, could be a bold prediction. I mean, who knows at this point what's going to happen with Melvin Ingram. But I would lean towards you saying that he probably plays this week, just seeing him back on the practice field. John, who are you going with this week for your defensive bold prediction?
I'm going to say that the Chargers defense is going to get four interceptions this week. And I'm going to say one of them's a pick six.
Wow, that is a bold prediction. Yeah, I mean, I can make my defense a bold prediction that I think that the Chargers are going to be the defense that allows the Chicago Bears to go over 300 yards for the first time this season. It's tough. Do I do it? No, all right, I'll stay away from it this week. I'm going to say that my defensive bold prediction is I think Drew Tranquil gets back in this game, and I think he has a comeback game. I'm going to say Drew Tranquil gets eight tackles in this game, forces a fumble, and gets two passes deflected as well as a tackle for loss. So this is probably wishful thinking by me. I want him to be a good player. He had a really rough week last week, but the potential is there, and we just need to see him, you know, kind of grow past those growing pains because the physical part of it is not the problem with Drew Tranquil. So let's flip over to the offensive side of the ball. John, we did you second last time, so go ahead and start us off with the offensive bowl prediction. Sam Tevy touchdown?
I was thinking more Russell Okung touchdown pass to Phillip Rivers. I think it fits better.
Sam Tevy could have caught a touchdown pass last week, lest we not forget.
Yeah, but
that was so selfish of Phillip Rivers throwing it to Melvin Gordon. I know you need to jumpstart the guy. Give Sam Tevy a touchdown right there.
Yeah, but who's to say Sam Tevy hasn't been hanging out with Travis Benjamin and doesn't have hands? And who's to say? But I'm
right, averages more yards per touch than Melvin Gordon.
Actually going to say that Phillip Rivers is going to throw for over 400 yards this week and three TDs.
Jesus.
Wowza.
David, do you have anything to compete with that?
I think I do. I got a pretty interesting one. So, I mean, if you guys listen to our keys to success, then you're going to know that the reason why I picked this for my offensive bold prediction. So I'm going to say Austin Eckler is going to go for 10 catches, 130 yards, and he's going to add eight carries for 65 yards for a combined 195 all-purpose yards. And I also believe that Michael Badgley is going to return, and he's going to come back and hit the game winner.
Okay, well, I mean, that's rivaling John's bold prediction. I knew I should have went before you so I could steal that good stat about the Bears being the fifth worst team against allowing receptions to running backs this season. I loved that stat. So I really like that for the bold prediction. I'm going to go Keenan Allen in this one. He has a matchup against Kyle Fuller, who hasn't been the Kyle Fuller that we've seen in years past. So I think I like Keenan Allen's matchup. You know, he's itching to get back involved in this offense. I think you're going to see a more enthusiastic Keenan Allen. I think you're going to see some more yards after the catch. It seems like he kind of brings that out of his bag every once in a while when he really needs to and just becomes a dynamo after catching the football. So I think Keenan Allen gets involved this week. I guess I'm going along more with John Kegley's bold prediction. I'm going to see Keenan Allen goes 11 catches for 165 yards and a touchdown in this one. So let's go ahead and get to the game predictions. David, how are you feeling about this matchup?
So, I mean, initially before we went into, you know, just talking about the Bears, I was a little scared just because of the preconceived notion of them having a really good defense. And they do have a decent defense, but they're, you know, like about middle of the pack, both running against the run and against the pass. So I do believe this is going to be a very low scoring game. And I think the Chargers are just the more desperate football team. And I do believe they're going to win this game, but it is going to be very low scoring. I'm going to say Chargers are going to get back in the win column with a 17-14 victory.
All right, well, I have already proclaimed that I will not give a vote of confidence for the Chargers until I actually see them win a game, just because the last 3 weeks you had opportunities to win and you didn't. I know that this Bears defense, I mean, statistically it looks like there's not a lot going on or nothing special, but they have some special playmakers on that defense. Khalil Mack, Eddie Jackson, just to name a couple of them. I don't like the Chargers matchup in this one. I think that they struggle against good teams, and I think that they are good enough defensively and they can figure it out offensively enough to get past the Chargers in this one. I also think it'll be a low-scoring game. I think a lot of field goal attempts in this game, and just as I say this, means it'll probably be 35-28, right? I'm going to go with Chargers 17, Bears 20 in this game. I think the Chargers drop it, and I can't pick them to win until I see it. John, where are you going? Besides to Chicago for the game, I might add.
Yes, I am going to Chicago for the game this weekend. I cannot wait to hear how loud that stadium is and can't wait to hear the sound of gunfire from my hotel. But I'm going to go with the Chargers winning this game, and I'm going to go 21-13 Chargers win. I mentioned that Phillip Rivers is my bold prediction to go 400 yards passing with three TDs, but I think a lot of those yards are going to be moving from like the 20, their own 20 to about the 45 yard line of the Bears, and then punting them, the Bears deep into their one. And eventually they make drives to score touchdowns. I think there's going to be a lot of moving the ball and pinning the Bears deep that's going to help us win this game.
I think field position is going to be a huge factor in this game, maybe more than any other game in the season. So you're going to need some good long booming punts, some good coverage by your kickoff and punt coverage units. It's going to be a very low scoring game where all of those things get amplified and they're important. So I like that call. The Chargers should win. I mean, I'm going to go out on a limb and say something that might not be a popular opinion right now, but I think this Chargers team is much better than their 2-5 record is so far this season. I think if you've watched every game, that you know this team is much better than their record currently says that they are, because even with the injuries, you've had a chance to win in 7 out of your 7 games. So there's no doubt in my mind that the Chargers are going to have a chance to win this game, but can they get out of their own way? And that's what it comes down to. That's why I'm picking them to lose this game. I do think it's going to be a one possession game, but can the Chargers finally get out of their own ass and actually put together a game winning drive, put together a decisive statement on defense that ends the chances for the other team? Because if they have that killer instinct, I haven't seen it since week 1. In that game, you gave up a lead as well, and you had to do it in overtime. So let's see what the Chargers can do this weekend, and I can only hope that we can be back here for a victory Monday for the first time in a goddamn month. But we will talk to you guys next week. Thank you for everyone who called into the Locked On Chargers voicemail. Again, the number is 323-524-7924. If you guys want to get your voices on the show, sorry for such a long show, even though I doubt you guys care very much. The more, the better, right? So if you don't already, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us, rating, and reviewing wherever you get your podcast from. Don't stress too much this weekend, guys. It's just football. We'll be back with you guys next week. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.